My first question is for you. Why are you ending the Reverend Curtis Black series now?
Well, for obviously a number of years, I have been leading up to this point. I never actually knew when it was going to happen, but when I wrote the last couple of books 13 and 14, that's when I realized that finally had Curtis in a place that I was trying to get him to. I wanted to bring him full circle. I wanted to show that any of us, anyone at all, can change for the better if they choose to. So Curtis, of course, went from being this pastor who was consumed with money and power and women, and now today he is a genuine man. He's a true man of God. He's a great husband, and he's a great father, and I just wanted to be able to end it on that kind of a note.
And you mentioned in the introduction that this would be a different type of book, and it has been a different type of book. It's a quieter book, but it goes deeper than some of the other books.
Yes.
So why did you do that this time around?
I wanted to, of course, go back and show what Curtis's childhood was like, and while he has mentioned it throughout the years, and of course in the third book when his mom passes away, that's when he does finally see his sister again, and of course he hasn't even seen his mom until he sees her in her casket. But I wanted to show the effects of his childhood and how that really turned him into the person he once was. It certainly does not justify his terrible actions, all of the sins he committed. It doesn't justify his hurting the number of people that he hurt in his earlier years, but it certainly shows that whatever happens in our childhood will affect us in one way or another for the rest of our lives.
And is that what you hope readers will get from this final installment?
I do. I hope that they will get that, and I hope in reading about his estrangement with his sister, now seeing her again in a terminally ill state, I'm hoping that readers will see that forgiveness means everything, and that, you know, no matter what those issues have been or those problems have been with family members or close friends, moving on and forgiving others is basically the key to life.
Mm-hmm. And I was, you know, as a daughter of a pastor and, you know, just having seen a first lady up close, I was really intrigued by Charlotte's storyline about, you know, not wanting to be the typical first lady. Where did that idea come from to explore that?
Just with, throughout these years, when I first started writing the Reverend Curtis Black series and went out on that first tour, the first release tour, I really, I guess, was afraid of what people were going to say, what kind of backlash I was going to receive. What happened instead was that I heard from first ladies coming up to me at events, you know, in whispering sometimes, or emailing me privately saying, thank you for writing my story. Thank you for saying what I'm not able to say, because so many of our parishioners will see us on Sunday morning. Maybe we have that smile on our face. Maybe we're dressed in a nice suit, but they really have no idea what we're feeling and what we're dealing with the other 6 days in the weekend. So in talking with pastors' wives and just first ladies throughout the country over these last 18 years since that first title in the series was released, I realized the private pain that so many of them were dealing with and how they weren't even focused on their own purpose necessarily in life, but they were focused on the purpose that their husbands were living, and that they were dealing with people in their churches that sometimes wouldn't smile back at them or didn't even like them for one reason or another, yet they were placed in a position where they had to remain silent about it.
And, you know, another plot point that I was shocked by, but, you know, it was an interesting story to read about Fast Mama Curtina. So,
yes.
Did that come from something that you had heard about, or where did that come from?
That did, and not necessarily just with pastors and their wives, with their children, but I'm seeing this across the board with family members and friends and just acquaintances, sharing exactly what's going on with their 12-year-old daughters. And sometimes, unfortunately, I've heard it as young as 10 and 11 years old. Mm-hmm. So these are girls that are thinking about things and doing things that I never even considered when I was at that age. And so it really is a trying time for many of our parents of today.
Now, I see that you've re-released the very first book in the series, and I wanted to know what made you want to do that now, and what has been the experience so far from re-releasing? I know it just came out, but...
Yes. It's been great. It's been a better response than I imagined. And so, of course, early on when I published my first three books, those contracts were for the print editions and the audio editions, and I don't think everyone was thinking so much about electronics and the ebook trend that would come. And so I've had the right to Casting the First Stone and two of my other standalone titles and just never really pushed the idea of releasing those on my own. But when I knew that I was finally bringing the series to an end, I thought, you know, how great would it be to go ahead and release this, you know, self-publish it, do something that I haven't done in a long time. But also because when I started to announce that this 15th and final book in the series was coming out this year, I had so many readers saying they wanted to start from book one and read that first 14 and refamiliarize themselves with the storyline and be prepared for the 15th. And then, of course, I started to hear from readers who basically only read ebooks, so they were asking me when they were going to see it.
And, you know, I read through your acknowledgments, and you thank everybody and their grandmama, like they say.
I know.
So, I was just thinking to myself, okay, so I know this is like the end of this particular book, but it was, you, since you thanked so many people, I was wondering, was there a hidden message in all of that?
Well, you know, I think that it is an end of an era because for so many years, I've been writing, and for a number of years, I've been writing two books a year. So I have my standalone titles, and I've always had my readers who have read those books and told me that they enjoyed them, that they really helped them in one way or another. But certainly, over the years, when you hear Kimberla Lawson Roby, most people do tend to think about Reverend Curtis Black. And so I just wanted to thank my readers and family members and friends and, you know, everyone, you know, people like you in the industry who played such a major part in keeping the information about the books out there, hearing those comments from readers and how they saw the characters as real life people. And so I just thought, you know, I couldn't have done this certainly without God and His grace and the favor that, you know, He saw fit to have on my life, but certainly because of so many other people. And that's it. So no, I'm not ending my writing career, but it's certainly
okay.
The end of an era for my Reverend Curtis Black series. And now this finally allows me to move forward with other projects that I've been wanting to work on that really don't have a lot to do with writing as well. So.
Okay, can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Well, you know, I'm certainly moving a lot more into my speaking arena, if you will. I've always known that God has had a purpose for my life when it comes to speaking to women. So I'm now freed up a little bit more to take on those speaking engagements, and I don't have to pass on them the way I was doing over the last few years.
Mm-hmm. And just, you know, this is just an off the top of my head question, but you've written 27 books, and I'm just curious, what are the top three changes that you've noticed in your writing and career, you know, throughout these 27 books? What has changed for you?
No, I think from a writing standpoint, I think that my craft has improved, you know, over the years, and that's just with writing more books and reading books and certainly hearing from my readers and really, really listening to them in terms of what they enjoyed and what they were looking for and what was helping them. The second thing is that ebooks, it's way different now with my career compared to when I started out back in the mid to late 90s. And you know, for a while, ebooks were maybe 5 or 10% of sales when the book would come out with the hardcover. Then I saw it at 20, 25%. Then eventually it was maybe 30%. And then eventually it was 50% with some books. And sometimes even more. We saw it exceed that first week or first month of sales in terms of comparing it to the print edition. So that's one thing. The other thing is social media.
Mm-hmm.
Social media changed everything, the entire landscape for my career because it allowed me to really interact with readers across the board, both here in the U.S. and abroad, in a way that I never would have been able to had social media not came about.
Okay. And to what, you know, do you attribute your longevity in this industry to? And I know you're going to say God, and that's great. But outside of that, are there any other things that you have done as a writer that you feel have helped you to get to where you are that you could say, okay, like, since you are going to be speaking to women or maybe authors or whatever, are there any things that you can pinpoint?
There are two things. I mean, and I guess three, because obviously I am going to say God, because we know that nothing is, you know, nothing is possible without Him. The second thing is that I worked really, really hard to build my relationship with readers, one reader at a time, one book club at a time, one group at a time, and I started to see them as more like my family members and friends. So that really made a difference, and that was always extremely important to me. I never would have continued writing had I not heard from them or received the amount of encouragement and love and support that I received from my readers over the years. I'm sure most writers believe that they have the best readers in the world, and I certainly have always said that and always felt like that. The second thing is staying true to yourself, regardless of what becomes popular, you know, what becomes more the thing to do, what most writers, I think, sometimes have believed, you know, let me sort of jump on this bandwagon. This is where I'm going to become the most successful, and if I do this, this will allow me to sell more books. Even when I knew there were things I could have done or said to make that happen.
Like what?
Well, I'll just say this, is I wasn't willing to cross any lines that would cross or affect or go against my Christian values, my family values, and my moral values.
Okay. And so, you know, all of these books that you have, all this information that television people can go to, have you ever thought about making a movie, a series? You know, there's Greenleaf out there. Any thought about that?
I have. I've actually been approached and been in negotiations with a major movie studio. That was in 2013 and 2014. And both times, by the time I received the contract, I passed both times. In 2015, I received an offer and went through the contract negotiations with a major network studio, and not cable, but a major network. They were actually looking for something to compete with Fox and Empire, and interestingly enough, thought, of course, Reverend Curtis Black, even though he's a pastor, he could certainly do that. I ended up passing, and I passed because I needed to know that I would have some input if I saw something in the script each week that totally crossed the line, and I just didn't want to see something happen that readers would be disappointed with, or that it would veer way too far off what they had read in the actual books. So now again, I have interest. Once more, I have a producer who understands that, is willing to bring me on as an executive producer. So, you know, really, really just waiting for the final word on that, and so hopefully that'll happen, and we'll see.
Okay. Well, that is my last question. I'm going to go ahead and turn off the recorder.